The pious predecessors of our deen have stated that today, nowadays, people have given a different concept or name to the deen. Just fasting, salah and hajj. People consider that this is the be all and the end all of Deenul Islam, and anyone who implements these is deendar or a practicing person. But this is incorrect. This is not just, the deen is just not confined to these few practices. Rather, in reality, the reality is such that the asal deen, the true deen of Islam, is the akhlaqi husna of a human being. And the example of these two is such that a person has a body, and you have your ruh, the inner soul, the spirit, and ibadah, the external ibadah, external actions, and akhlaqi husna, the example is the same. If we have a body with a ruh, with the inner soul and spirit, that doesn't matter how weak is the physical body or how ill, unwell, but still a person is considered alive. You'll give him food, you'll give him water to drink, you'll give him medicine, you'll speak to that person, everything, because that person is alive. But when the ruh is extracted, doesn't matter how big is that person, he was strong, etc., but you will take all of, we will take all of that person and bury him in the earth, the soil, because there's no ruh. So the value is not the physical body, rather it is the value of the ruh. Very simple example, isn't it? So in the same way, our ibadat, our external ibadat, zahiri practice, this is not Islam itself. It's just like the physical body. But the ruh of the practice is the akhlaqi husna, good conduct, good manners, good social conduct. And if we take ibadat away, and for example, a person, if he doesn't have akhlaq, then he will be like the physical body without the ruh. So when we will take our deeds to Allah in the hereafter and we don't concentrate on akhlaq, then our deeds will be thrown back on our faces, because there will be no akhlaqi husna, the highest form of conduct. Yeah. So it's like the body without the ruh, without the spirit, without the soul, without any life. So today the pious elders have stated that this is a big disease amongst us today in the ummah. The attack of shaitan upon us, the Muslimin today, is this same point. We don't accept this point. Rather, we say with a guarantee or conviction, no, he's deendar, he's high in status, he's done so much. Don't ask, he prays salah, he's done this, X, Y, Z. And insan's tawajjuh, focus, is not on the qalb or the inner state, the soul. This is a big deception. Shaitan's made us go to sleep. And if we don't focus on something, then we won't try to improve that factor, that element. We won't try, I won't try. So our pious elders are reviving this thought process and fact that tomorrow on the Day of Judgment will be present in front of Allah. And if we take all the ibadat, but if ghibat, backbiting, comes into play, then it will destroy all of our deeds. If my akhlaq is not good, then all this, I'm a lover of Allah and staying up in the night and worshipping, will be eliminated. Allah will not accept this. Rather, these ibadat, if we want them to be accepted, then we need to improve our akhlaq. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is the challenge that we need to wake up to. We need to awaken. And we're working hard physically, but we're wasting our efforts. Look how we try hard. Ramadan came, we do ibadat, mashallah, we worship. Mashallah, great days are to come. The 10 days are about to come. There is no comparison to these 10 days. These 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and that one fast in those 10 days is equivalent to 1 year of fasting. Shouldn't ask about this. This is a separate discussion, and I will explain. We'll discuss that Allah Ta'ala, what rewards He has kept aside in these 10 days. Great rewards. What great days and nights that are about to come with the fadl of Allah. But what's happened is that we will all earn, and we will practice, but we won't have the ruh in our deeds. And we don't have yaqeen on this point. We listen to shaitan. Why? I don't know why. The Quran is telling us this, the hadith is telling us this, and everything is telling us that ibadah, that the color of our ibadah is from where? It's linked to the akhlaq. The akhlaq. If we don't have akhlaq, good conduct, good manners, good inner state, then we will spoil all of our ibadat. Now there's a hadith, if we focus on this, as a Malik bin Anas radiyallahu anhu narrated this hadith in Mishkat, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very famous hadith. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, amartu, I upon you fikum amarain, that I am leaving with you two things. Yes, what a great statement. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that I'm leaving with you two things, nothing else. Two things I entrust with you, fikum amarain, that I will leave with you two things. Lan tadallu. And if you, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave guarantee with these two things that lan tadallu, that in no way or form can you be led astray or go astray. Tamassaktum. If you take hold of these two things that I'm leaving with you, grab hold of them. If you do amal on these, if you practice on these, you're aware of these, conscious of these, you start to emulate these, don't do anything else. Don't look left and right. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm leaving with you two things, and hold on to these two things firmly. And this will make you completely successful, guaranteed. Doesn't matter what day and age comes, Dajjal, Shaytan. But these two things, if they're with you, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given guarantee, big guarantee. Lan tadallu, you will in no way or form be able to go astray. No way. What is it that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can be ma? Kitab Allah wa sunnati Rasulullah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Great shortcut and easy methodology. Here, look at these Qurans. Look how many Qurans there are everywhere around us. Quran, Quran, the whole masjid decoration of Quran. The publishing of Quran. Is there any shortage of Quran? And look at that generation of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Compare the two. So this doesn't mean that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, that take all of the Quran or print the Quran and start looking at the Quran and start kissing the Quran. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that grab hold of the masaktum. Means what? That all of the injunctions, orders, bayanat, Allah Ta'ala's revelation, bring that into practical life. Embrace it. That's what this hadith means. Not this that you look at the Quran, kiss it, nice praises, nice smell and fragrance. The difference between the Sahaba and us is that in that time of the Sahaba, there was no Quran physically published. But the Quran transcripts they had, how did they grab hold of that? They did amal, they practiced on the Quran. They decorated the Quran with their practice. This is the color of the Quran. This is the color of the Quran. You know when you see the Quran rubbed off onto somebody, then you'll smell the fragrance of that person. You'll smell the fragrance of the Quran from that person. Such great pious elders have passed. You can smell the Quran from their body, from their practice. There's a great ni'mah that no other ummah attained such a great reward. No other Nabi, no previous Nabi attained the Quran. And it's not in our hands. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has allowed it to come into our hearts. So simple. Whenever you want to pick it up, which verse, or look at it and kiss it, touch it to your eyes. Whenever, look at it or read Surah Kafirun, Surah Yasin. This surah, that is, so Allah Ta'ala has given such a great mercy to this ummah. Such verses, how they were revealed, what is the maqam, Surah Yasin, read the history, Surah Al-Baqarah, the history, the how it was descended, how it was revealed, and Surah Al-Fatiha, how the angels brought Surah Al-Fatiha, a man will become amazed and shocked. Such a great kitab, and such us people who don't appreciate, oh, I'm just reading Quran, and just by the way, how Allah Ta'ala loves this ummah, tell me, how does Allah Ta'ala, how much Allah loves this ummah. So we need to understand this Quran. This Quran isn't for just repeating to do hifz. This is not the maqsad, the objective of the Quran. When we'll go to the grave, Allah won't ask us that, why didn't you do hifz? Did you do hifz? Of course you will get the reward of hifz. Memorization, why didn't you do this much and why didn't you read this much? This is not the question that will be asked from us, that the Quran that I gave to you, why didn't you do amal on the Quran? Allah will ask him. We don't do amal on the Quran, and the rest of the time we waste our time. So this is proven, my friends, that even if we read less, a little bit, but one verse of the whole Quran, if we do amal on one verse of the Quran, this is the style of the Quran, this is the mu'jizah of the Quran, the miracle of the Quran. If we say we want to be corrected, improved, okay, start reading Quran, tafsir. I've seen people like this. Especially revert brothers or revert Muslimin, they say, oh, I can't read the Quran, I don't have to read it, I'll read the English translation. Why? Because I want to improve myself, make myself better. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran, such guidance, such a miracle, that one verse of the Quran, that is enough for hidayah. Look, don't try to go too much into this. I've gone a bit beyond the topic that I wanted to discuss. I was saying something else. But one verse, if you read of the Quran, Surah Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. That's it. Allah Ta'ala, please give me the straight path. Allow me to be on the straight path. The whole of Hidayah comes in this verse. Alhamdulillah. What can I say to you? That one individual said to me, he's a brother from Tabligh Jamaat, and he went on Jamaat on a chill, and he told me this personally, that this verse, he said, on this verse, he assisted three people to revert to Islam. They had not read Quran. He wasn't aware of the Quranic principles. And he said, I wasn't an alim or a scholar, but he said, I knew about this verse. That Allah Ta'ala has given everything in this verse. That Allah, give me hidayah. Give me guidance. Hidayah means, Allah, allow me to start practicing the Quran. Allow me to start following the sunnah. Make me a Muslim. Make me leave the sins. Allah, allow me to leave the sins. This is hidayah. This is guidance, isn't it? And this is what is hidayah. Not this, oh, I want to do this as well, and I want to do that as well. I want to do this as well and be a, I want to watch TV and listen to music and singing. No, this is how we've spoiled the deen. I want to practice and do the wrong sin, the actions and sins. This is the reason. So now let's go ahead. Do you understand the point I'm saying? That everything Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that take hold of the Quran firmly and the sunnah, my beloved practice. This isn't it, isn't it? This is the formula that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to us. And if we take hold of these two things and practice them, we have the whole deen in our life. And what do I say? That all of the deen that is to be practiced is based and hinged on akhlaq. Listen carefully. Listen with attentiveness. What's the dawah, the claim I've made? The whole of the deen of Islam is hinged on akhlaq. Ibadah will come after. Acceptance will be there. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that take all of these two things, the Quran and the sunnah, my beloved sunnah. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say akhlaq here, did he? Now I'll explain, did the name come or not of akhlaq? As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked, that please tell us about the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've heard this hadith, isn't it? Very famous. So what was the reply? Subhana. She said, have you not read the Quran? The whole Quran, kana khuluqul al-Quran. That the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's whole life, his deen, was practice of the Quran, his akhlaq. So if you've taken the Quran, Rasulullah said, if you take my akhlaq, the example of my manners and social conduct, and high level of conduct, then if you take hold of this example, then you'll be following the Quran, you'll be following my hadith. Because the whole of the Quran was the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. His life practice was the meaning of the Quran. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lifestyle was the Quran. His akhlaq was the Quran. And if you want to see the tashreeh, then go towards the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah. That the translation and the commentary and the tafsir and the meaning and physical demonstration of the Quran and akhlaq is in the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Quran and sunnah, they are the ruh of the Quran, and the sunnah is the akhlaq, the high level of akhlaq and conduct of a person. And today we have left akhlaq. We have no akhlaq. We have no good conduct. We don't have manners and regard for this. So this is a great issue we have within the ummah. So what we need to do is elevate our akhlaq. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his time when he came to the world, this was the worst generation of all times. Jahalat, ignorance and rudeness. And for example, somebody took hold of somebody else's goat, he took hold of his camel, he hit one person, another person, and fights and murders would continue through decades, through families and generations, and that's how spoilt was the generation at that time. So when the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to the world, the biggest change that came in ma'ashara, in society, was on the subject of akhlaq, the practice of akhlaq. So those same people, when they became sahaba, has Umar radiallahu anhu, that in the time of jahalat, when there was no Islam, we see events and he shared those events, and he would tell the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that before I was a Muslim, when I was far from you, I was not good, I didn't have good manners. And when he became the Sahabi, the companion, and came into the gulami of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the color of the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rubbed off onto him, then the biggest change that came in, the first change that came in the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, was what? Based on akhlaq, an event I remember. Subhanallah. Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was present, and Hazrat Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu came, and he was a little bit distressed, upset. He had some sadness on his expression, and he fell down, looked down, and he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I would like to make a request to you. And that request is that my brother Umar, please make him pleased with me, because he looks like he's upset with me, not happy with me, and it was my mistake. And please, if you can obtain the forgiveness from him. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ looked at Abu Bakr. Then after some time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came to the court of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, to his company. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'd like to make a request. And he was also upset and distressed, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is maybe upset with me, not happy with me. Please, if you can obtain forgiveness, my forgiveness from him, because it's my mistake. So both accepted there was the mistake was theirs. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said the mistake was mine. Hazrat Umar radiallahu said this is the mistake is mine. And this is the effect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both Sahabi are saying it's my fault. And the other Sahabi saying no, it's my fault, Hazrat Umar. So if this was to come into our ma'ashara, akhlaq, that there's an argument in a house amongst two brothers or brother and sister, or amongst relatives, or amongst husband and wife, and it gets to that stage that he says that's my mistake, forgive me. Then tell me how our ma'ashara will become with the fadl of Allah. Then one corner, the husband's praying, the wife's praying in the other corner, both are enemies, and there's enmity between the uncles and the mammus, and they're eating together, and inside their hearts there's enmity and hatred. No, I'm going to destroy this person, I'm going to spoil his children and put ta'weez on them. And amaliyat, magic, black magic, so much, oh, I'm going to do this to this man or to this woman or to their children. And then beyond this, alhamdulillah, I think Ramadan doesn't even end, and then the next Ramadan's tickets are booked for Hajj and Umrah. There's not so much rush as there is in Ramadan. You see this common we see in the streets, and people arguing, fighting. The other man saying to him, oh, you think you're a haji, that you're going hajj so regularly, you've consumed people's money. And there's a fight in our alleyways and streets in our country. Is this not happen? No? In the shops, and somebody's after him, oh, you think you pray salah, you keep on praying salah, I know about your salah, and you took this man's money, you consumed his funds, and you didn't give his share. And this is the case. So all ibadah gets suppressed and buried. So my brothers, this is the asal point here, that we need to analyze our akhlaq. We need to consider akhlaq as ibadah. And the Quran is the complete akhlaq of a mu'min. The sunnah and the Quran are the demonstration of akhlaq from Muslim. And but we don't consider this as akhlaq. So the request is this, that we need to focus on our akhlaqiyat, our manners, conduct, regard for each other, how we treat others. Allah's given us salah, hajj, staying up in the night, worshipping. But we need to get these accepted, don't we? If our akhlaq can be elevated, improved, so that the akhlaq that we've been taught by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's elevate this at least. Isn't it? Let's correct them, improve them at least, and try hard on them to do correct. How should we try? That a person cannot be improved. His akhlaq cannot be improved. So how will the akhlaq be improved and corrected? When inside our heart is purified and clear and improved, then our akhlaq will be improved. Remember this, that without improving the heart, akhlaq can never be made. Because everything hinges on what? What's the tip of the iceberg here? Due to akhlaq, that will affect akhlaq is our heart. So if we want to improve our akhlaq, make it akhlaq-e husna. If we want to learn ilm, knowledge, we have to go to Darul Ulum. We have to sit in front of the ustad, the teacher. If you want to learn a hadith, you'll have to sit in front of the ustad. Without going to a Darul Ulum, you cannot become an alim, a scholar. If you want to do hifz, then you have to sit in front of a qari sahib and do hifz al-Quran. So my brothers, if we want to improve our akhlaq, elevate our akhlaq, then we need to try hard for this, and we will have to wash our hearts to elevate our akhlaq. This is the formula. Yes, if we don't wash our hearts, the question doesn't arise. The anger will come out, or backbiting will come out. Or if we take someone's haq, this will never come out from our lives. Allah is the witness of this. The generation is witness of this. Those people who have purified their qulub, their hearts, subhanallah. Their akhlaq, their conduct, their manners are on a very high status. And just like we discussed the examples, if you sit next to a person who's pure, he will be humble, ijz and kasari, simplicity. And I used to say, oh, this is a great sheikh, he's got so much rank, he's such a great sheikh. I thought, how will people meet him? I thought, how shall I go and meet him? Great sheikh, Hazrat Arif Billah, who's the Khalifa of Hazrat Thanwi, rahmatullahi, the Khalifa Ajal, Hazrat Arif Billah, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahmatullahi, who's both murids, present today, Hazrat Taqi Usmani, Salih Madazar Ali, and his brother, Hazrat Rafi Usmani, both were students. And his father, Mufti Sahib of Pakistan, he told his children, and he requested Hazrat Arif Billah to be the teacher spiritually. So when I met him first time, I thought, oh, he's a great teacher and a great sheikh. What will be the methodology to meet him? I'm speaking about the first gathering I went to of his, the first meeting. So I was a bit afraid. And he was a doctor and went to his surgery. Allahu Akbar. And when I went there, I went from the back door. I knocked outside the back door. I thought, I don't know, what will be the hal? How do I approach the sheikh? What will be the manners or the methodology? So I saw straight away the door open, and Hazrat Sheikh was stood there himself. MashaAllah, there was noor from top to toe, and he was wearing white libas. And he said, yes, please, tell me, how comes you have come here? And his language was Urdu. And I said, I want to meet Dr. Zabi. He said, yes, I'm Dr. Please come, come. And he took me inside. And he didn't take me to a normal place. But I came from, I said, he took me to a special room where his kitabs were there. And he took me there. I was on a bench or a chair. And he seated me on the chair. And himself, he sat on the bench. I was ashamed. I said, no. He said, please, no, sit down. So this was the hukam, the order of the sheikh. You have to listen to it. So I'm telling you that what is the condition of a person whose heart is made? And where? Where did he learn from? Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, he was the Khalifa. My brothers, if somebody with the right intention goes to the Wali Allah, it's impossible that it will not affect his heart. Impossible. That we don't go there to pray Salah. We don't go there to learn how to pray Salah or Masjid, Masail or Fiqh or jurisprudence. We go to the Wali Allah's company to make our hearts pure, improve our hearts. If a person sits in the company of the Sheikh, this is our maqsad, that we improve our akhlaq and conduct and manners. If 10 years, 9 years we sit and we don't have this feeling, then we are wasting our time like animals. We will leave that, depart that gathering. So there's no benefit. So I sat down. After that I spoke to Hazrat Sheikh, and mashallah how malayim and soft and tender hearted it was, and so simple. And then he said, this is my tariqah, this is what I do. Then with more love, he explained to me, gave me nasiha, advice, and then love was created and coming and going. I would meet after that. And in those days, a book was published, Uswai Rasul Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is a great kitab about Sirat al-Nabi. And after he got up, he said, I will give you a gift. That time, he hadn't come into the market, so as I said, that from my side, this is a gift for you. And he signed and put his autograph in the book. And mashallah, he gave me love and affection. Great Sheikh, his company, who he had been in. And so what I'm trying to say, explain here, is that when an insan, when a human being sits in the company of a good person who has good akhlaq, whose akhlaq has been looked after and purified, whose heart is made, then alhamdulillah, you will feel yourself that, yaar, there's peace here, contentment here. There's some enjoyment here. So my brothers, this dunya we have to depart. Definitely we'll depart. So we need to try to improve and elevate our akhlaq. Alhamdulillah, you do dhikr, adhkar. You remember Allah. MashaAllah, quite a lot of improvements have come into us people. I have improved due to your company. Otherwise, I'm even still useless. When I see you, I am happy that you, mashallah, have improved and the color of the deen has come to you. But don't forget this sabak. That don't just emphasize, focus on dhahiri, external ibadah, until our akhlaq is improved. And who bears witness to a good akhlaq? Who testifies? You must say, I am good, I'm pious, and I've got good akhlaq, good manners, and I don't do any harm to anybody. No. The sign of good akhlaq is that even the people who are your enemies, they should praise you. Praise you. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Even those who are opposed to you say, no, he looks like he's a good man and he's pious. What are you saying? No, it's okay, but I accept that this man's good. So if you hear this from somebody's mouth, then consider that this person has improved his akhlaq is good. Allah Ta'ala has also accepted his ibadah, his deeds. So the effort that we need to make to improve our deen is to go in the company of a wali Allah and learn dhikr of Allah from him, and then kullu shayin sakalatun sakalatul qalb bi dhikrillah. Everything as a polishing agent, and the one reason for doing dhikr of Allah is not to become a wali Allah. The wahid, one sole maqsad, is that our akhlaq should be improved. Inside me, that feeling should come, that I consider this is my own fault. That is, there's a fight, as I know it's my fault. What a big hadith of the Holy Prophet, that the meaning of the hadith is such that if a person's on the haq, he's on the truth, on the right path, but he knows that I'm on the haq and I'm honest. If he steps down from the clash, then say, I have mistaken, you're right. Allah says, on the day of judgment, I'll give him the highest rank status. So what I say is that I've said this. It's easy to say this and it's easy to speak. But I say from thousands, this ibadah, this action, you could do 100,000 or more tahajjud, but it's very difficult to back down and step down from a disagreement. Tahajjud will become easy. It'll be easy for you to keep the fasts and nafal fasts all year long. But to say this, alhamdulillah, that if you're on the haq, you are right, you are honest, and the person's opposed to you, you say, okay, brother, no problem. Let's end the argument. That no, you are honest. It was my mistake. I ask you for forgiveness. Subhanallah. You will see that at that time, the nur, the light will come into your heart. So this is what we need to work hard on. Will you work hard on this, my friends, brothers? So consider this is our target, and that's why we do dhikr. That's why we gather together. That's why we sit down. Alhamdulillah. We are weak. We are sinful. We are weak in human beings. We live in ma'ashara. But we should at least try, isn't it? So at least 30 minutes, 45 minutes, sit next to a good person and listen to his words and try to do your Islam. And our duty is this to do, and the rest leave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said to Ibrahim, as Ibrahim alayhi salam, that don't that you think that people come and sit down. How will people come if there's no one around it, Allah Ta'ala? Who am I calling to? Allah said, it's for you to call and communicate. It's for me to bring them. So this is the Rasul of Allah. See, do you get any place in the Kaaba? When you go there, was Hazrat Ibrahim was wandering around there. How? How will people come in? So in the same way, if we take footsteps, we say, Allah, we are dirty. We are impure. I speak about myself. We are impure. We have bad akhlaq. We're fed up of people's akhlaq. We're fed up of people are fed up of my anger, my dhulum, my oppression. I tow my hate. I hate the children, even the wife. I have bad akhlaq, bad manners. I know this. I'm bad. But Allah Ta'ala, I will start to try to improve, and please allow me and assist me to conclude positively. So that we should do shukr of this. And the biggest tariqah, the first method we should do is go to a wali Allah, learn dhikr. He will teach you dhikr of the heart, and he'll say do 1,000 tasbih. Just do that. That's it. Don't need to worry about it. In those 10 tasbihs, if you do it correctly, in the way you've been told, 10 minutes extra goes on top. He said that do 1,000 tasbihs, 1,000 beads. Then consider that you will be successful. You don't need to fear or wilt or shudder. At that time, close your eyes, keep on doing your dhikr, and your cure, the solution for any of your issues will come. Should be have istiqamah, steadfastness. If the doctor says, you go to get some medicine, first in the morning, afternoon, evening, you have to eat. And you say, no, I'll just eat twice, then the antibiotic will not take effect. If you don't take the antibiotic with a 4-hour gap, here the doctor's subsidizing it, that if you don't eat the antibiotics after every so many hours, then will it affect you? No, it never will. Because it's not my fault, you didn't consume the antibiotic. So that is khuraq, food. But Allah Ta'ala, spiritual foods and spiritual sustenance is the same. Allah says morning and evening do 1,000 tasbih. Whatever happens, cold, hot, with wudu, without wudu, wherever you are, you have to do the tasbih, because I need to improve my akhlaq. Alhamdulillah, we will see, you will see, I will see that the people in the dunya will praise our akhlaq, conduct. And Allah Ta'ala says that I make you like this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.